Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We had four opening game tilts yesterday, and we got three more yet to come today. Talking about all those, where we head from here, NBA insider stuff. One of the best in the business. He's been doing it for a while. He's doing it these days for the Sporting News, for Forbes, and on SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Mitch Lawrence joins us here on CBS Sports Radio. How you been, Mitch?
Jody, Mac, I'm doing great. How are you?
Can't complain because we've got the real season underway, a.k.a. playoffs for the association. I kicked off the show talking about LeBron. No great surprise. He is the attention grabber, not only the NBA, but probably in all of sports. My general question was, what does this year's playoff run, 13 straight years for LeBron in the postseason, does this particular playoff run have more of an impact on his legacy? Another one of the 13 years in his legacy? How do you weigh this against what LeBron has already done and what he will yet do in writing the story that is the career of LeBron James?
Good question. You know, Jody Mack, when he came back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals and beat the 73-win Warriors, who had broken that Bulls record, which nobody thought would ever be broken, that to me is his, you know, that's his crowning achievement. That's his argument for being on the Mount Rushmore. Nobody had ever come back from 3-1 down in the finals, and certainly against a 73-win team that was looking to make history, I mean, that's all the more impressive. Now, when you factor in this year and everybody and his brother is counting this guy out already, I mean, I'm in the vast minority. I still think he's going to get to the finals in June. Everybody you talk to, they don't play good enough defense. They don't have Kyrie Irving. And granted, I've been one of the big proponents of when they traded Kyrie Irving, they were coming back to the pack in the East because LeBron and Kyrie had given them the two closers in Eastern Conference playoff games. They were on parallel. They were 36-5. In the last 3 years against Eastern competition. So I do know that this Cavalier team is flawed. I do know defensively they're not stopping anybody. They're going to have to outscore people. I still want to see who in the Eastern Conference can take LeBron out four times over a two-week span in the series. And I think if he gets to a finals this year, because of all the naysayers and all the doubters, Joey Mack, I think this will be one of his greatest achievements.
Yeah, if he does get back to a final again, I would tend to agree with you. And I also mentioned this. He plays for the Cavaliers. He played for the Cavs, he played for the Heat, and he plays for the Cavaliers. But we almost talk about it like he is the team. If LeBron can get to an NBA final, if LeBron can do that, LeBron, and he actually has to go out there with four other guys over the course of a game, he is that good, and it's understandable, but it is at least in part going to do with those who can contribute along with him.
Right.
Who's going to be his Robin here? If it's not going to be Kyrie Irving, who steps up and gives him a helping hand?
They never replaced Kyrie Irving. It was supposed to be Isaiah Thomas. I even have my doubts that Isaiah Thomas could fill that role. He doesn't have that playoff resume that Kyrie Irving had. Kyrie Irving is an exceptional offensive player who can make something out of nothing at the end of a shot clock in a playoff game. We saw it when he made the big shot in Game 7 against Golden State to nail down the finals. We know that's the reason why Danny Ainge gave up a lot at the time, we all thought, including that Brooklyn pick, to get a player of Kyrie Irving's stature, because Danny Ainge had been holding on to those assets for a long time, but he identified a 25-year-old who, at the end of these playoff games, could make a difference, a player he did not have in Boston, including the likes of Isaiah Thomas. So, yeah, there's a big question. Can Kevin Love be that player? Or is it going to have to be by committee? What are they going to get out of George Hill? What are they going to get out, who's been a good, pretty good playoff player in his days in Indiana? What are they going to get out of Larry Nance Jr. and Jordan Clarkson, who have never been in the playoffs? Rodney Hood has a limited playoff resume. This looks like the weakest supporting cast, although people are saying it's the weakest he's ever had. Look, in 07, he did not have a Kevin Love.
No.
When he went and they got killed by San Antonio, Kevin Love's an all-star player. No matter, he takes a lot of knocks, especially offensively. And he's got Kyle Korver. He's got a lot of weapons. Now, are they going to run into problems in the East? Yeah, potentially Toronto. Although, you know what? LeBron's been a big problem for Toronto, and I want to see how DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry do against him. Is it Philadelphia who they run into with the young stars who could give them problems? I mean, Ben Simmons got off to an amazing start last night in his playoff debut. Right off the bat, he is a factor in these playoffs. So it looks like he might have some competition. It's just too bad that Kyrie Irving and the Celtics aren't at full strength, because that would have been a tremendous show to have LeBron and the Cavaliers go against Kyrie in the East. But the East, there's no one team that just sit there and you go, yeah, you know what, LeBron's time is up because this team is going to take him out. I don't put it past him, Jody Mack. I still want to see somebody. And you know what? Here's why I still have confidence in LeBron James. I watched him in the regular season. This is one of the most amazing regular seasons that anybody has had, let alone a guy 33 years old, 15 years in the league with a zillion minutes. He was an MVP. I mean, James Harden had to do it from, you know, beginning to end and win, what, 65-odd games. A significant difference, really, for me to put Harden above LeBron. Otherwise, LeBron had a MVP-worthy season, and I still think that's what separates him and puts maybe Cleveland still a little bit ahead of teams in the East.
All right, let's jettison ahead a little bit, because we've also discussed this today. The Cavs are going to do what the Cavs are going to do. You actually think they're going back to the finals. They'll either win there or not win there.
Yes,
how does that play with LeBron for next year?
Oh, well, I was going to say this too. He ain't going to be 30. You know, he's not going to give you a 12-1 Eastern Conference run here. It may be 12, and you know, he might get a few losses along the way. There might be some 7-game series. Who knows? How does it play for the future? Who knows? I mean, it's all guesswork. I have no idea what he's going to do. You hear Los Angeles, you know, Houston, Philly, you know, I just, you know, stay in Cleveland. Got no idea on that. He talks about family first, then winning. Well, family first, then winning could be Los Angeles, where he has a couple of homes. It still could be Cleveland. Is it Philadelphia? I don't see where family first is Philadelphia, but we all don't know. It's a big guessing game. All I'll tell you is this, Jody Mack. July 1st, it will be the start of the LeBron summer. It could go on for many days, if not weeks. So all these guys who are free agents this year, don't be in any rush to sign anywhere, because LeBron's going to dictate the terms, and it's going to be all about him. It's going to be a fascinating thing. I would think the Lakers have a shot. I would think Cleveland has a shot. Who knows about Philadelphia? I mean, could he do that? You hear that, you know, Pat Riley's tried to mend fences, and I can't see him going back to him. Yeah, Miami, could they use... Miami's in desperate need of stars, as we saw last night. Every time they roll out these teams in the playoffs, my standard line is, when is Eric Spoelstra going to put in his starting lineup?
Oh.
They're doing it with, like, backups. I mean, it's ridiculous. The level of talent, Jody Mack, that they have gone from 2014 with LeBron and Dwayne Wade to Chris Bosh to what they have today is startling. Startling. So who knows where LeBron's going to be?
Yeah, it is. It's going to be fun come July 1st. All right, out to the West. It looks like the Rockets and the Warriors are going to pick off teams until they get to face each other. Or is it? Is there someone else that can upset the apple cart over the two top teams in the West?
No, and I think what's happened, as we've seen it, 3 through 8, and actually you could add Denver to that, 3 through 9, there's not a whole lot of difference. Denver finished 10 games over 500 with 46 wins. I think the Portland Trailblazers had 49. They're playing a team with 48 wins. Was I surprised that New Orleans could actually go into Portland and win? No, because they only had a 1-victory difference. And they have Anthony Davis, who, congratulations to him, he finally got a playoff win. After all this time, I keep hearing about how he's his MVP candidate, hasn't translated his second series ever. First playoff win, so good for him. They could easily go home and lose, by the way. They've got no court, kind of home court advantage. As a matter of fact, only the Wizards have a worse home record in the regular season than New Orleans. But I think they're grouped so closely, those teams. And the problem is, you know, they're 49, 48-win teams. They're not 56-win teams that you look at and you say, wow, this is a team that could give Houston, or this is a team that could give Golden State a lot of trouble. If Golden State gets Steph Curry back, and he is pretty close to normal. And that's saying, that might be saying a lot, Jody Mack, off a grade 2 sprain of a knee, of a knee cartilage or ligament, whatever it is, but it's a significant injury. I mean, if they get him back and he's fine and he's with Durant and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green, Houston's not beating them. I don't care where the game is played. But that's a big if. To me, that's the thing that's – you talk about LeBron, and that's basically, you know, the big determining factor in the East. I think in the West, the big thing is Steph Curry's injury, not only when he comes back, but how hampered is he when he comes back? What is he going to be? What is the version of Steph Curry that we're going to see? Remember, he had a knee injury in that first round against Houston, I guess it was, back when they won the 73 games. He came back. He was not the same player against Cleveland. He didn't have the explosion. He didn't have the lift. He didn't have the just, you know, what makes him great at the offensive end, all that stuff. And we'll see how he does on this different knee, different injury. We'll see how he does off this one.
And if Houston finds a way to beat Golden State with Curry healthy, not whatever Curry's health is, if Houston does win that series, it's going to be because they actually play defense, which, you know, Harden's going to score, and Paul's been a great mix, and taking some of the pressure off Harden has surely worked for them, and Capella's one of the more underrated players in the league on both the offensive and the defensive end, but they're a good defensive team. I didn't think that was possible. How does a Mike D'Antoni team become a good defensive team?
They hired the right assistant coach in Jeff Bezdelic, who's from the old Pat Riley school, and he's done a great job the last couple of years helping them bring in a kind of a defensive game plan, and they've also upgraded their talent on the defensive part of the floor. Chris Paul can still play some defense, but I'm talking about guys like P.J. Tucker and Luke Mbamute, who was out for this first round. That's a big injury. Now, may not catch up with him here, but they're going to need him. You talk to Golden State people, and they came through New York, this is in the last, what, month ago, and they told you that between P.J. Tucker, Luke Mbamute, Trevor Ariza, Chris Paul, you know what? That's a team that concerns Golden State when Golden State has the ball. So, yeah, they have a good defense. And, yeah, you're right. They're going to play some defense. But I got news for you, too. They beat Golden State. They're going to have to score on Golden State because you saw what Golden State can do to an undermanned San Antonio team. Golden State's defense is still some of the top defense between Klay Thompson, Durant, Draymond Green. When those guys are on the floor, even Iguodala, Sean Livingston, that's a tremendous defense. So Houston, they're going to have to do it at both ends of the court against Golden State. And if they do it, they'll be the favorite heading into the finals. I don't care who they play.
All right, last thing, Mitch. You've been covering the league for a long time, but you're a New York-based guy, which means you had a close eye on the Knicks. Another bad year, another non-playoff year. No great surprise. They let Hornacek go the night the season ends. So now they are on the lookout for their next coach. According to your bud, mine, Frank Isola, they've already reached out to Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. Adrian Wojnarowski is reporting today they've received permission to talk to Mike Woodson. Van Gundy, Woodson, ex-Knicks coaches, when do we get the report that a call has gone out for Larry Brown? Can they talk Riles out of South Beach? Shoot, Yubi's still doing games. I wouldn't mind seeing Yubi on the side. How many ex-coaches are you actually going to talk to about this opening?
I'm sure Lenny Wilkins would like another stab at it. All right? Well, I'll tell you, the Knicks, oh my gosh. They're going to say, you know, there's a million names out there. Jerry Stackhouse, David Fitzgerald. There are, you know, some of these guys are good. It's not so much, you know, I think part of the issue is you have the Knicks fan. They'd love to have Jeff Van Gundy. They'd love to have Mark Jackson. Here's the thing. How many of these coaches really want this job? Your best player, Kristaps Porzingis, will probably be out for several months into next season. What's the commitment going to be from the top in terms of giving a coach a chance? It cannot be any more these 2 years in your outfield. The other thing is, you look at the roster. And I talked to Jeff about this today when we had him on Sirius NBA Radio, Jody Mack. He talked in general terms that what he looks at is, you know, it's all about your players. Well, take Porzingis out of the equation, which is a big part of the equation. What do you got there? You don't have a lot there to win with. You don't have a lot there to develop. I mean, it's really, the cupboard is pretty bare. Plus, I look at, and this is me talking, not Jeff, I look at who's in charge in terms of the building of the team and the roster. Steve Mills and Scott Perry. With all due respect to these guys, they're nice guys. What have they done in terms of building winning teams before? They really don't have much on their resume. So you're putting a lot of faith into that. It's a tough job. Now, they're going to recruit these guys, and you know they're going to play top dollar at Madison Square Garden. But the fact remains, there are some coaches who are not going to be that interested in this job because they know it could be, you know, you might be over there before you know it, and, you know, what do you have to work with, who's building a team, et cetera, et cetera. For Knicks fans, not a good time to be a Knicks fan.
Mitch, enjoy watching the end of the Celtics and the Bucks. Appreciate a couple minutes today. Thanks, bud.
Thanks, Jody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.